Okay, we're doing a podcast on Star Wars,
dude.
The Phantom Menace, and it is your host, Justin WG. And my other co-host today is
Cruz
Paul and Eric Flores.
And today we're going to talk about the beginning and go to the ending themes of the movie, The Phantom Menace. Our first topic is about Qui-Gon Jinn and what it's going to be about, what makes him a unique Jedi compared to other Jedi on the Council, and the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he battles Darth Maul, all that type of stuff.
I mean, getting to the themes of how Qui-Gon's a different kind of Jedi, you can see very early on to where he doesn't really follow the Jedi code strictly. You know, as like other Jedis, they like see the code and they're like, all right, I got to do 100% of what it says. But Qui-Gon kind of uses it more like a moral compass compared to other Jedi.
Well, I you can see in the battle between him and Darth Maul when he was meditating, when the ray shields were up, and you also saw his stance four. Stance that had like a little bit of offense and defense to it. But we see Obi-Wan there. He sees what's going on. We see how sadly Qui-Gon Jinn, the unique Jedi that you say, who follows his own moral compass and tries to recruit Anakin and try to basically, because he's the chosen one, die at the end of the movie because of him not having more of a defensive stance that compared to the Sith, Darth Maul's more offensive Sith stance that ended killing him off. And we also see Obi-Wan kind of hold a grudge in this sense. And get angry, even though that's kind of not the Jedi way. More of a complex, not really shown your emotions. But at the same time, he did just lose his master, so it is understandable at the same time.
Yeah, and you could see, like, when the ray shields were up, Qui-Gon was more calm than Darth Maul. And you could see him, like, pacing back and forth, and he was mad and stuff, because he probably knew maybe he wasn't going to win that fight, because he didn't have the better stance or whatever.
Yeah, you could see that, like, he was getting pretty tired. I mean, he is an older Jedi compared to, like, the young Sith Lord that Darth Maul was. And it was just kind of like, it was more of a marathon than a sprint. And Qui-Gon Jinn, I guess, just didn't have the stamina to keep up. And you could almost see, like, the difference in experience. A little bit, like, you know, going back to like, what happened when the ratios were going up. Obi-Wan was kind of screaming, and that, you know, he wanted to go and help Qui-Gon while, like, you know, Qui-Gon, like, just meditated. So it kind of shows, like, the difference between, like, a Jedi Knight and a Jedi Padawan.
It also brings into the stance of Darth Maul's origins. As we can see from the Clone Wars, we get to see more insight on that. But he's a Knight brother, and he had two blood brothers in the Star Wars universe. But you can see in his character, he doesn't really seem more of a defensive. I feel like most people on the planet of Dathomir would be more offensive stance. Wanting to also the double lights, bladed lightsaber. That's one of our first times we see it.
Yeah, that's the first time it's shown, and I think it's pretty cool. Like, you know, showing the different kinds of lightsabers. It adds like world building to Star Wars. It shows that like there's different kinds of lightsabers, and then there's different kinds of forms, I guess, to the teachings. Because like, you know, as you said, Qui-Gon had a certain type of like fighting stance, and it was more
defensive. Yeah, it was the fourth one, but it wasn't as defensive, I feel. Yeah.
I felt like, I mean, it's the same one that Obi-Wan
used, right? Well, no, it was the one that he tried to specialize in, but Obi-Wan wanted more defensive, so he does stance 3, or form 3, but Qui-Gon taught him stance 4, but he wanted to learn stance 3 to be able to win against, I feel like, well, he did win against Darth Maul, but he won more of a, we know that he didn't die there, but to get revenge on his master, he wanted to study Form 3, a more defensive stance. I mean, see Obi-Wan use that also against Anakin in the third movie. You can also see that Anakin, who is also pretty offensive with his lightsaber in that movie too, just like Darth Maul is now. I feel like they're very frustrated, unable to control their emotions, when on the other hand, we see the Jedi more complex and soft-spoken, not really like and like you acts on emotion. It's more of a doing what they think is right, not just like trying to like murder or like kill.
Do you think when Obi-Wan takes in Anakin as his Padawan, do you think he's doing it out of he wants to train him, or do you think he's doing it more out of like the sake for Qui-Gon? Had Qui-Gon saw hope in him, and then he saw that he was the chosen one.
Well, you also see the stance that he did depend on him to win the pod race, and we also see that he could have also saved his mother, but he decided that since he was the chosen one, he placed some more, you could say, a priority in making sure that he gets to the Republic. And you can really see that they're like really more of a Qui-Gon just being like, he's the chosen one, I need to take more priority in getting him back to become this great Jedi to pass Yoda and Clorian.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, when they check his blood for Metachlorians, I believe this is the only movie that shows that. I don't think any other movie shows the Metachlorian count.
Yeah, I think they said that kinda weird. Yoda had 2,000 Metachlorian, I think, somewhere around there.
It was kind of weird how they just showed that, but didn't, like, explain more on it or anything.
Yeah, we were told this kind of plot device that was being used. And I was like, so yeah, Yoda's the strongest. Anakin's the weakest right now. Or not weakest, but like he's not really in the Jedi yet, but he has a Clorian count that's like gonna suppress Yoda. But we really don't get to see what like connection or use that could be made to the story compared to the other Jedi and what their Metachlorian count says about them and the strength system between the Jedi. Because we do see on the Attack of the Clones, the next movie, that a lot of Jedi die. So you can almost see that they had probably possibly less Metachlorians, so they really weren't that strong in the Force. That's just my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, we could be reading too much into it. I mean, this is the only movie that it's brought up. So I don't know I'm pretty sure they wanted to expand more on it, but I guess the reception for it wasn't really there.
Well, I mean, it would be probably a really good thing to if they did, but I mean, I can understand why. I simply didn't feel like a need or a purpose behind it. The next topic we're probably going to end it off with is the Trade Federation and how they believe in a system, politics that put blockades around planets with Federation control. We see this with Naboo. We see this with other planets. We see this with people choosing to land or on Tatooine because it's a planet owned by the Hutts and not the Federation. We kind of see this in difference between Federation planets, the Republic-owned allies, and then we see places like Tatooine, other things that are owned by like crime bosses and stuff like that. But what can you like tell as like a difference between the Trade Federation's way of politics compared to the Republic's?
I mean, and personally, this adds way more. This like kind of goes back to like this world building type thing. It shows that there's more out there than just the Republic and the Trade Federation, and shows that there's other clan leaders. As far as like trade planets, you can clearly see the difference because, you know, there's slavery. You know, Anakin's unfortunately, she is a victim to the slavery that's being that's kind of allowed on those planets. There's very small amount of law and order, and like what is pretty corrupt. Like, you know, the Hutt Clan is a crime syndicate, or it's a crime like a crime family. They do shady dealings, and if they're almost mafia families.
Yeah, it kind of lagged out there. Yeah, you said about the Hutt, Jabba the Hutt. It kind of is like a dictatorship on Tatooine, but at the same time, there's multiple Hutts, so one could also see a group being like a monarchy or a oligarchy in terms of government and how they inflict their rules amongst the people, how they really don't get a say. And that's why you could also see more of an oppression on Trade Federation planets than usual, because places like in the Star Wars Rebels, what they did to that the planet that Ezra grew up in, there was a lot of Sith oppression, and people really didn't like what was going on there, or had to like go by the rules, and they didn't have a choice in the matter. So you can see like more of a slave like Anakin, just like that. He really just can't like leave. He's a child. His mother can't really like get him out. They're both stuck in the situation, and they really don't have a say in the matter. It is your host, Justin WG, and that is the end for this podcast. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you had some info on the Jedi system compared to the Sith way of fighting. And we hope to see you next time on the Attack of the Clones.